I think I'm on now. Okay. This is our little granddaughter, Mia Annabelle. Are you having a good feast?
Yeah.
With all the kids?
Yeah.
Good, good. What does Grandpa always say? I love you so much. And what does Grandma always say?
Hold your horses.
Hold your horses. But I got a surprise for you.
Oh.
Oh. A book with the fruits of the Spirit. Love, peace, goodness, patience, gentleness. You want to go read that with Grandma?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I am the real Mike Wiesman. I had a feeling they didn't want me to speak today. Ancient Jewish rabbis, when teaching young children God's word, would, at the end of a lesson, take their slate and cover it with honey. This was to impress upon their minds that God's word was sweet, something to be desired, special. The ushers will now pass out to you a honey treat. You may enjoy it now during the message, or later as you will. And may you enjoy it and see that God's word is a sweet blessing. As we meet here together on the Sabbath day towards the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles 2017, it seemed good for me to speak today about kingdoms. The Kingdom of America has embassies all over the world. They are a little bit of America, a long way from home. It's just a small replica of what the big nation is all about. In the American embassy, the laws of America rule, not the country the embassy is located in, because all embassies are sovereign territory. They don't belong to the country they are in, but belong to the country they are from. Headed by our ambassador. And if you ever get in trouble overseas, all you have to do is make your way to the gate. And if you get across the gate, you're now in America, even though you're located on foreign soil. The Kingdom of Heaven has many replicas, or embassies, if you will, that are supposed to be a little bit of heaven, a long way from home. And this embassy is called the church. The church is supposed to be a local manifestation of the kingdom of God, demonstrating on foreign soils the values, laws, and expectations of the king. We pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God. We grew up with our hands over our heart, pledging our allegiance to a kingdom called America because we were born into it. We were reminded at school every day or at sporting events that we belong to this kingdom, and that it's a privilege of being a resident or citizen of this country. But God is interested in the Pledge of Allegiance, but to another kingdom, a greater kingdom, an eternal kingdom, one run by Him. In John 18, Jesus is before Pilate. And he makes a statement about his kingdom. and its agenda. Excuse me. He says in verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight, so I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. And I personally have to let that, think about that and let that settle in." Thank you. "For this I have been born into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Here Jesus serves notice to a representative of the Roman government that there is another kingdom, of which he rules and he is the king. Before God ever created man, he created angels. They were created to be visible evidence of his glory, created to do his will. Many different kinds of angels were created, and chief among them was one called Lucifer. His name means shining one, or did mean shining one. Angels in the Bible are called stars. So if they are stars, Lucifer must have been the sunshine. Ezekiel 28:13. "He was so spectacular, it talks about his pipes, because he could sing. That's why he hates worship so much. It reminds him of his old job. He was leading all the angels in the worship, celebration, and obedience to God Almighty. But he developed a God complex. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all, of us all? He thought he was. So he set out to establish a rival kingdom. In fact, Isaiah 14, you will read 5 times, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne. I will sit enthroned. I will ascend above the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." And each one of those statements was a rebellion against God. He got other angels to rebel against God. And so successful was his coup, he took 1/3 of all the angels with him. And a definition of a coup is a sudden, violent seizure of power from an existing government. Now, it's not hard to hide a coup from an omniscient being. So God uncovered his rebellion. A trial was held. He, along with the fallen angels with him, were found guilty of cosmic treason. We're told this in Luke 10:18. When Jesus says, "I was there when Satan fell from heaven like lightning." This verse is important because Jesus says he was there, which shows us he existed before his birth. It also shows us the conclusion of the trial, that he was removed from his place in heaven. And he also got a name change. God always changes your name to fit your character. And Jesus said, "Satan was thrown down." Because of his rebellion, the lake of fire was prepared for Satan and his angels. Eternal separation from God was the sentence that was passed. But God decided, instead of carrying out the sentence right away, he would use the rebellion for his greater glory. What God did was kick Satan out to the third planet from the sun, Earth. That brings us to Genesis 1, 1 and 2. God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Tohu and bohu, which means garbage dump. Then God had to clean it up, separate the land from the water, because it was a swamp. It's a garbage dump because garbage lives here. Satan lives here with his angels. So God renovates the earth and then comes up with a plan to create a lesser being, a lower creature, one who can't fly and who doesn't have angelic intellect, lower than the angels. So why would God do that? To demonstrate that he could do less when less is dependent on him than what he could do with more when more was in rebellion against him. God created man to demonstrate his greater glory and to advance his kingdom in history. God decided to work through the lesser creature, but only as man would submit to him. So in the garden, he puts two trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He tells man, if you want to live life as I have chosen you to live, this is the tree for you. But if you want to do it on your own and figure it out for yourself, I'm going to give you the freedom to eat from that tree, but you're going to have to figure it out for yourself. My wife and I recently attended a church service where the pastor said he graduated from a seminary where the school so did not want to influence their students into a particular denomination that they taught them all different kinds of denominations. He said that at the graduation, all he felt was confusion. The graduates were to go and figure it out for themselves. Sounds like that tree to me. My main point today is that God has a kingdom, but only if we allow him to be king. When men try to figure it out for themselves, eating from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, then we find ourselves in the predicament that we are today in the world, off target, trying to figure it out for themselves. Again in John 18, referring back to John 18, Jesus said, he is a king, and that his kingdom is not of this world. It's from another realm, another place. A kingdom is a system of personal power in family, neighborhood, business, city, country, etc. Everybody has a kingdom. I have a kingdom. Everybody has a kingdom. That little sphere in which what you say happens. What you say goes. The range of your effective will. Where what you want to have happen, happens. The kingdom of heaven is the range of God's effective will. Wherever God's will is being done. Imagine a society with a spirit of humility and service. Total humility and service. Where people are constantly on the lookout for those who are lonely or rejected. Luke 14, the kingdom of heaven is like a banquet to which all are invited. The poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Imagine a society, no gossip, no cruelty, no fear, where our Heavenly Father is endlessly celebrated in His infinite love. Romans 14, 17, Paul says, "The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Jesus says it's real and it exists right now. In Luke 17, (clears throat) The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, "Here it is," or "There it is," because the kingdom of God is within you. Christ in us, through the Holy Spirit. And I want to get real for just a minute. You know, I can't change the way I think without the Holy Spirit. I can't stop my temper on my own strength. I can't turn away from porn on my own strength. I can't be a better husband on my own strength. I can't be a better father on my own strength. I can't be a better grandfather on my own strength. I can't be what I'm supposed to be without the Holy Spirit changing the way I think. And that's why He showed us how to live here, bringing peace, joy, and love to everyone we meet. That's why we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven through us." In your home, we call you a king or a queen of your castle. That means you have certain rules and guidelines and regulations by which you run your house. The fact that I come over to Jeff Leedy's house and tell him I don't like where his furniture is irrelevant. Or if I tell him I don't like the color of paint on his walls, that's my problem. Because it's his house. And I can't come and dictate changes to his kingdom, to which he is king. I may make suggestions, but he makes the final decisions. But some of us have teenagers. And those of us who are older, we have all been teenagers. So we know what it's like to have rebellion in the kingdom. We know what it's like having those that want to make their own rules. That automatically brings about a clash, because you can't have two kings in one kingdom. What God has done is set up a kingdom, but wound up with some rebellious teenagers. Many of them Christians who want to bring the world's rule into his kingdom and then want the king to okay them. In the same way a parent is to take responsibility for the order in the house, God takes responsibility for the order in his kingdom. And referring back to John 18 again, my kingdom is not of this world. He doesn't say the kingdom, his kingdom is not in this world, but it is not of this world. He means its source, where it comes from, its authority, where its information is derived from, is not from this world order. In Romans 12, 2, we are told, be not conformed to this world. In other words, do not comply with the standards of behavior that this world has established. Because worldliness is rebellion against the kingdomness. And when we, you and I, humanly speaking, participate in rebellion of being like the world, we are in conflict with the owner of the house. God wants us in the world, but he doesn't want the world in us. God has set up governing guidelines and regulations by how life is to be lived. The world is a system headed by Satan that wants to leave God out. Don't tell me what to do. I'm going to have my own way. I want to do it my way. And God is no longer part of the equation. In Romans 3, verse 4, let God be true and every man a liar. When God and man disagree, man is wrong. He has spoken and he has not stuttered. He is perfectly clear. He will not compete with this world. My son-in-law, Jesse, loves to scuba dive. And when he goes deep into the water, he is going into another kingdom. Unless he takes a tank of oxygen from this kingdom with him, that kingdom will kill him. In the same way, if we belong to Jesus Christ, this world is not our home. We all need a tank on our back with the kingdom of heaven in it for us to survive in this world. It's the King and his kingdom in us. But because we are in this world, we can think that this is the real world while we're choking, trying to survive. The kingdom of God is the complete, comprehensive rule of God over our life. There is not any area in which God's viewpoint is not brought in and acted on if we are to live life in this foreign world. It's easy to make this world our home. Its agenda, its worldview, its orientation. But the Bible says when you come to Christ, you switch kingdoms. We came from a kingdom of darkness that is rebellion against God to the kingdom of life. You must be born again. Made new. If we are to see the victory, power, and provision God is offering us, we have to operate under another plan of life. The victory of the kingdom is the surrender of his people. What is it that you and I still need to surrender? Jesus said, for this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Satan is a liar. And he's a good one. He only knows how to lie because he can't handle the truth. The truth is God's view on any subject. God's truth is the absolute standard by which reality is measured. Truth transcends feelings and even facts. My youngest daughter, Carrie, is Mia's mother. I had taken care of her, provided for her, supported her. I had done everything for her. Then some good-looking dude come along, and he told her the same lines that I told her mother years earlier. She decided to switch kingdoms. She decided to leave the Weissman kingdom and join the Edwards kingdom. She chose a new king to look to. You and I have switched kingdoms spiritually, been born again, but the old king wants to stay in charge, call the shots, have the bottom line in our lives. There is conflict in the kingdoms. But when you have a heavenly kingdom mentality, you live up there but function down here with your feet firmly planted on the ground. Unless God is free to call the shots, the transformation we need in our lives will not happen. Matthew 18, 3. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter in the kingdom of heaven. And I looked up the two words, enter in the Greek. Enter in means begin to experience. That's literally what it means in the Greek. Enter into the kingdom, begin to experience. And we all know that we live in a broken world. Just one example. Over 800,000 people worldwide will commit suicide this year. 40,000 in the U.S. alone. We live in a culture that has systematically removed God and His Word, and people are without hope. On the first day, at the end of the first day of the feast, I was perusing through Facebook at the end of late in the day, and I saw a video of a young man about 25 years old, middle-aged young man. He was standing on the other side of the railing of a concrete, I'll say, footbridge over a river. And it was a staged video made to present like he was going to jump off the bridge and drown in the river and commit suicide. And the title of the video was The Test of Humanity. And all these people were walking by, to and fro, walking by and looking at him. Some were making fun of him and taking videos. Wow, I can put this on Facebook, put it on the internet. But there was only two or three people that were really concerned about him that reached out and helped him. He's like, I'm going to end it. My problems are too much. And it was a test to see how many people would stop and help him and to give him that word of hope. And you know, none of us know in all the people that we interact with from day to day who's on that very edge of committing suicide. That was just one more critical comment that's going to put him over the edge. And you have in your power to give them a word of encouragement. If you say, "Hey, you're looking good today," that might just save their life. Words are so powerful. The Queen of England is very well respected. Her name is held up high. When she travels, people pull over out of courtesy, and they wave, and they nod. Her only problem is, while she has that respect, she has no power. She can't make any laws. She can't make any decisions. She can't make any decisions. And if we're not careful, that's how we can do God in His kingdom. Pull over to the side, give a little nod. As long as He doesn't get to make any decisions, call the shots or tell me what to do. When we begin to operate in every sphere of influence in life in His agenda, understand and operate from the rule of the King, then we will begin to see God take messes and turn them into miracles. God will take circumstances and reverse them in every dimension of life. In the Olympics, people come from all over the world to watch and participate. These athletes and teams are experts in their sport. They know how to do what they do, and they do it well. At the end, they take the podium for public recognition of their achievements. Gold medal winner is at the center. The best of the best. They stand tall. The officials don't come up to them and ask them, "What song do you want me to play?" They automatically play the song of the nation the athlete is a part of. Because even though their individual talent won the gold, they belong to a bigger kingdom. They are there as a representative of that kingdom. God wants us all to wear His gold medal. In the testimony of His Son, Jesus Christ. But not so that we can play our favorite song. He wants us to do it so that God can be glorified and His kingdom expanded in history. Let God play His song because we are standing on that podium today. Giving Him glory to His name. Because we decided to follow Him and His agenda of heaven and not the agenda of this world. Last evening, I met the head of security here on the whole complex, and he was telling me how wonderful it is just to have this spirit here. He's a church-going man. He's a Baptist. And I said, will it offend you if we drink in moderation? He's like, no, to each his own. But he's just overjoyed about the spirit that exudes from this group. And I wish to commend you all. In the Hallelujah Chorus, there is a line from Revelation 11, verse 15. The kingdoms of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. So as we look forward to that time, It's great to be here with all of you, to experience the effects of his kingdom on earth and the sweetness of the peace and the joy and the patience and the cooperation that's everywhere in all of you. So as the band comes up for the final hymn today, and we prepare to give him glory in song, I'd like to end with excuse me. I'd like to end with one thought. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.